Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll be going to your calls in just a few moments. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I cannot help but think that our culture is in a free fall. You think about how homosexuality has become mainstream. Same-sex marriage, now the law of the land. We used to talk about gender identity disorder, but now it's gender dysphoria. In other words, the idea being our feelings determine our sex, not our biology. The totalitarian boot is stepping on anyone who would dare respect the rights of men as men and women as women in bathrooms and showers throughout the land. The Judeo-Christian worldview is morphing into pluralism and multiculturalism and relativism and naturalism. Free love of the 1960s has morphed to friends with benefits in the modern epoch. Think about the fact that more than 40% of births in the U.S. are out of wedlock, or 1 million abortions a year, or the foundation of the family disintegrating. The average Christian, let alone the average American, cannot defend the objective nature of marriage, the unique, the permanent, the comprehensive union of two people, one man, one woman, the natural end of which is the bearing and rearing of children. And we think back when the U.S. Supreme Court made a decision recognizing a right to same-sex marriage, which, of course, has raised all kinds of new questions, including why restrict marriage to only two? On the economic level, there are the deficits, a multi-trillion dollar deficit, and total federal unfunded liabilities are at least $30 trillion now, probably much, much more. And we have the specter of encroaching democratic socialism on the horizon. So many things are changing so fast. And as I've said many times, we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And I think that's precisely what we need to do. You think about the worst epochs in Christian history, when a group of people or even one person decided to be a light and turned things around. I mean, you have to give a lot of credit to the LGBTQ community. Now, they have changed a culture. A small minority of people now wear iron boots and crush all opposition. Now, I'm not suggesting that Christians should want those iron boots to crush opposition, but to create a culture in which there's freedom to think, freedom just to consider. I was talking to someone very close to me the other day who said that in the workplace, his boss, a lesbian, will not allow him to even think about this subject. So to even say, you know, I haven't had a chance to fully think through this, is to not be in league with those who are walking lockstep without thinking. You are simply called to acquiesce to the iron totalitarian boot. Well, again, that's the culture we live in. The solution is discernment and always being ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. And that's why we deeply appreciate those who stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Ryan, listening in Canada, CJCA. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Just wanted to, first of all, thank you for your ministry. And also, I picked up the Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition, updated and revised.
Uh-huh.
And just wanted to say, beautiful book, beautiful in appearance and beautiful from content as well. So thank you for that. And I definitely urge anyone else that hasn't got that yet.
Bless you, Ryan.
To do so. My question was, one of the first kind of things you tackle is the unpardonable sin. And I've listened to your broadcast for years, and you've always been consistent saying that, you know, if you're concerned that you've possibly, or you have fear that you've committed it, then that's proof positive that you haven't. Kind of one of those self-explanatory type of thing, which made a lot of sense. Then I got to, I think it was page like 499 or 500, where it talked about the sin in Hebrews 10:26, and I think you did a great job at describing what's going on there, with, you know, the unbelieving Hebrews basically continuing, you know, not seeing Jesus as, well, you know, that didn't work, what he did on the cross, so I guess I'll just go back to the temple and bring my, you know, my goats and my sacrifice my animals. My question was, when I read the scripture, it seems that what's being described in Hebrews 10:26 through 29 is exactly as you say it, but I'm confused on the part that talks about, like, that these people that committed this, they were filled with fear. Fear of, you know, basically the judgment, fiery judgment that's going to come upon them. I asked my pastor, like, I don't understand. I said, you know, I thought maybe these people were fearful, and if they were fearful, then how could they have committed the unpardonable sin? And we both kind of came to the agreement that the author's not saying that these people are fearful or have godly sorrow or anything like that. The author's simply just stating the fate of the people who have rejected the sacrifice of Christ. Is that kind of what's happening in this scripture?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say, Ryan, that it's fantastic that you're checking out what I have written in the Complete Bible Answer Book with Scripture, because the Complete Bible Answer Book is not the final court of arbitration. It is the Word of God. So you're doing a very good thing to test all things and hold fast to that which is true. What Hebrews 10 actually says is that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And indeed, it is. And what you have in this passage is pretty interesting. You have, in essence, the same thing that's going on in Matthew, where you have the teachers of the law, the leaders, the Hebrews, if you will. They know that Jesus Christ is the only one who could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. And yet, with premeditation and forethought, they are saying that Jesus is doing what he's doing by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So they have neglected the Word of God. They have neglected the evidence given by God. And therefore, the text is saying that they are trampling on the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. And what is the reason? Well, the reason is they want to continue to offer the blood of bulls and goats when the type and shadow has already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Of course, that's what ultimately calls for the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem, because they want this majestic temple to be the center of their spiritual identity, not the master teacher. They're interested in a Jewish theocracy, not Jesus. They're interested in the land, not the Lord. So I think this is the quintessential example of those who know, but yet do not believe. And I think this is a great point that has to be made. You can have all of the knowledge, but that does not mean true faith, because knowledge has to be attended by trust. In other words, trusting in Jesus Christ alone, not just having a knowledge that you fulfill what came before, but trusting in Jesus Christ rather than wanting to continue what's gone on before in terms of your spiritual and sociological identity. And I have to leave it at that. We are coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
For years, emigres from the former Soviet bloc have been telling Rod Dreher they see telltale signs of soft totalitarianism cropping up in America. Identity politics are intruding into every aspect of life. Progressives marginalize conservative, traditional Christians, and other dissenters. Technology and consumerism hasten the possibility of a corporate surveillance state. And the pandemic, having put millions out of work, leaves our country especially vulnerable to demagogic manipulation. In Live Not by Lies, Rod Dreher draws on the wisdom of Christian survivors of Soviet persecution to prepare American Christians for the dangerous days ahead. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. My invitation for you to join CRI's monthly support team, it's the foundation of this ministry. I can't tell you how important CRI's support team members are. When you join, be pleased to send you a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. If you'd like one of my other books, I can do the same with one of my other books as well. Again, for those who join the monthly CRI support team, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Lance is next in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Lance.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Hey, Hank, well, first of all, I appreciate, again, just you addressing important issues, whether it's same-sex marriage and or Islamic fundamentalism and the truth of, you know, what the Quran teaches and so on. And I just wanted to make a comment. You were talking about just the moral state of our country and how we've been, you know, in a free fall morally, which is true. Now, you made the comment, you know, about same-sex marriage and being the law of the land. I just wanted to make a point, and I'm just kind of sharing off the cuff because it's been a little while since I've read some of the Supreme Court decision on that, but I think it's really important as believers and even just how our country works that, you know, that decision, it's not the law of the land, because the Supreme Court, the majority, their decision was not based on anything in the Constitution, because the Constitution doesn't, you know, define marriage or say anything about marriage. So that whole issue is left for the states. And so there's really no, I mean, the Supreme Court's function is to interpret law. Well, obviously, they were not interpreting law because there was no law about what marriage is. And, of course, marriage has always been understood in our country to be between a man and a woman. So they were, you know, so, I mean, I know that you would agree that it was judicial overreach, but I think it's just important that people understand, because I think a lot of people say that it's the law of the land. It's really not. It's their opinion that they are imposing on everyone else. But it's, I mean, even the dissenting judges, like I was looking at Scalia's dissent in that opinion, he says that what's important to him isn't so much the definition of marriage, which I disagree with, but he says what's supremely important to him was that who it is that rules me. He says today's decree says that my ruler and the ruler of 320 million Americans coast to coast is a majority of nine lawyers on the Supreme Court. So anyway, I think that's just a real important point to make, that it's really not the law of the land. Because there's no constitutional law about marriage. You might not agree totally, I don't know, but I think it's an important point to make.
Sure. Well, certainly I can accept what you said with respect to judicial overreach, but in terms of whether it's the law of the land or not, I think it most certainly is now the law of the land. Try to do otherwise, and you will find out that it is, in fact, a law, and that law is going to be enforced. I think what's important to realize is that this is a false definition of marriage. You've pointed that out clearly. So our law has now enshrined something that is false. It doesn't correspond to reality. And that's very much like flooding the economy with counterfeit money. Everything is ultimately devalued. And the reason is rights come from our nature, and our nature comes from God. So denying that means denying the basis of all other rights. and in the end, therefore, redefining marriage gravely undermines the foundations of human civilization, and that is precisely what we have done.
Yeah, I just would, I wouldn't agree, though, that it's the law of the land. I think it's this, you know, these majority justices who are imposing their definition or their opinion on the country, but it's not based in law. It's not based in the Constitution.
And it's certainly against natural law, but it has become the law of the land, and it is a law that is enforceable in the land.
Yeah, I would agree. It is enforceable. I just would disagree that it's the law of the land because there's no law. They weren't interpreting any law.
Right. So it may be an equivocation on the word law. I don't know. But if it is enforceable and if it has been legislated, one would think that it is now law. And to your point of overreach, there may be overreach, but the fact of the matter is it is a false law. And it is a law that defies all common sense and natural law itself. And it is a law with draconian consequences for human civilization. I've pointed out that there's an anthropological reality, and that anthropological reality is that children are best served by gender-differentiated marriages. And so we are harming the most vulnerable among us. Of course, the biological reality is that natural reproduction always requires a coupling of male and female, and that marriage protects and reflects and reinforces that complementary reproductive part of our nature. And of course, there's a civil reality as well, and that civil reality is that a child needs a mother and a father. And there wasn't all that long ago that even Obama was making that very same point, that fathers are axiomatic to families and marriage properly understood bonds fathers to mothers and fathers and mothers to children. He was making that point very, very eloquently. But now the totalitarian boot has squished all sense whatsoever of any dissent or even any conversation on the matter. You cannot even think about these matters anymore. You are simply to walk lockstep in the direction that you're told to walk today by the LGBTQ community. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cameron next, listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Cameron.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. So I just had a question of what is evil, and is that like just the absence of God's character, or... I was hoping you could kind of give me some clarification on that.
Yeah, I actually answer that question in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition in an entry that has to do, what is sin? And in that entry, what I actually do is I point out that sin is not an ontological entity in itself, but it's the deprivation of something. And therefore, we can't call sin a substance. So there's an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, what is sin? And I point out that sin is a barrier between us and other people, but sin is also, as just mentioned, the deprivation of good, and therefore sin is characterized by a lack of something rather than being something in itself. Sin is a break in relationship with God and with others rather than being an entity in and of itself.
Okay. So I guess under that, I mean, that really kind of changes a lot of things. I've always had people try to argue and say things like they felt like God created evil just because of, you know, the fact that the tree was there. But I know otherwise, but I was never really sure how to put that in words. But, I mean, with that kind of an understanding of elementary understanding of that, it just seems like, I don't know, it's kind of a duh thing that there can't really be God creating evil if it's really, I guess, just the absence of us choosing to use something that God gave.
Well, yes and no, but let me just elaborate on the difference between creating the potential for evil and creating evil itself. So creating the potential for evil means that God gave people volition, and without volition, love becomes meaningless. I mean, if you can only love someone under duress, if you're forced to love, then love is not really love. So God creates the potential for evil by creating volitional beings. Those volitional beings actualize that evil by the choices that they make. God set before Adam and Eve a choice. They could choose to do it his way, or they could choose to live by the dictates of their own will. So they could choose to act one way or choose to act a completely different way. So they had a choice, and through that they actualized evil. But again, evil is not just murder, rape, or robbery. It's not just things that you do. Sin is a word that describes anything that fails to meet the standard of God's perfection, and therefore sin is the barrier between us and a satisfying relationship with God. Again, I've dealt with that specifically and directly in the Complete Bible Answer Book, available. Find it at equip.org. Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.